Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Prophet, priest, and king. I always find that interesting. You know, you do too. And we know that Jesus had two names, Jesus and Christ. All right, what does Jesus mean in Hebrew? God saves. And Christ is Greek for the Hebrew word Messiah, which means in Hebrew the anointed one. But it's from the word charis in Greek, which is God's grace. You know, so when we start looking up with these words, it really has a meaning. God saves through the anointed one who brings us God's grace. That's what we say when we say Jesus Christ. And Jesus tells us he was anointed to give us good news. He read from that great Old Testament book of Isaiah, the 61st chapter. What was that good mercy, good news that he talked about? Mercy. As we look at this, we're going to go back to our catechism class tonight. Prophet, priest, and king. Jesus anointed us, was anointed to free us from the unholy three. Sin, death, and the power of the devil. Well, that's the story of Lent, isn't it? Isn't it all about mercy? Well, what is the meaning of Lent? If I asked you what's the meaning of Lent, what would you say? All right, you got somebody who said we're going to go into Lent. All right, what's Lent? Us good Christians in here. Don't feel bad, I had to look it up too. Well, no. Roman Catholics turn it into that. About the death of Jesus, isn't it? And that's one of the things. We are preparing for Easter Sunday. But before that, we have the Passion story that happens on Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and then the resurrection on Sunday. And this is a time of 40 days. When we talk 40 in the Bible, what are we talking? A time of trial and a time of reflection. Because you've got to remember that the Jewish people believe that numbers have power, which is why Jesus spent 40 days in the desert, why the Jews traveled for 40 years. Make sense? All right, so that time of reflection is important. You know, Paul says about Jesus being anointed to share the good news, and this is in Ephesians 2. He preached peace to you who were far off and to you who were near. All right, so we have mercy. And now the second part of this meeting tonight is peace. I think those are two things they have sponsoring us tonight that is really important, don't you? No matter where we are, whether we're near or far, the message of peace comes to us. So Jesus gives the peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4. He brought the peace between God and man, and between man and man. Because in him, all the fences that divide us are down. But boy, don't we work real hard at building them back up again? So there's always something between us. Jesus came to give us a peace that the human world cannot give. That's why the angel said at his birth, "Do not be afraid, I bring you the good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior is born to you, and he is Christ the Lord." So now we're talking both the beginning and the end of Christ's time on earth. And then what happened then? A bunch of angels came in and said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." We usually say in peace to good men, but it's to men on whom his favor, his grace rests. Jesus continues to be our prophet through the preaching of simple pastors in the church, what I'm doing tonight, what Pastor Don did for you. But whenever the gospel is proclaimed, God and Christ is the prophet who proclaims it, not me. God and Jesus proclaim it through the Holy Spirit, who talks to me, and hopefully the one who uses my mouth. All right, well, now we looked at this now. All right, let's look at Jesus as priest. Jesus was anointed to be a priest, a merciful high priest, which meant he was to sacrifice on behalf of the people and to intercede for them. Here we are almost in that court case again. He's going to intercede for us. He's our counselor. With me? He's the one who's going to stand up for us. But as God's high priest, the sacrifice was going to be him. Not a dove, not a lamb, not a bull, but him. He was going to be sacrificed on the cross because God so loved the world. With you tonight, I don't have to. But we know that through his sacrifice on the cross, all the sins of the world are forgiven. As a divine king, Jesus rose again from the dead. And because of his rising, we know we have peace with God. Think of it this way. If you pay attention to your Bible, a lot of people rose from the dead or were have believed to have come back from the dead. What happened on Good Friday? What happened in the temple? The curtain was rent asunder, torn down. The dead rose. Let's stop and think about that. The Bible tells us a lot of this stuff, but we don't think about it. Some people think that Jesus was just a prophet brought back to life. Just as some thought John the Baptizer was a prophet risen from the dead, a widow's son was raised from the dead, an official's daughter was raised from the dead, Lazarus was raised from the dead, and half of that municipal cemetery of Jerusalem was raised from the dead on Good Friday. Miracle all. Yet none of these resurrections were messianic. None of those resurrections turned the world upside down. But when Jesus was raised from the dead, that resurrection did turn the world upside down. And as Scripture tells us, Jesus was raised again for our justification. And justification is our forgiveness of sin. Well, let's look at King. Remember the words of the angel of Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." And all people are to be brought into this kingdom where God is in control of the hearts and minds of his people. So my friends, what does this kingdom look like? Sure isn't what the Jews were expecting, was it? You know, they expected to have Jerusalem be the center of the earth, Christ was going to be the king over everybody, and their status was going to be left. No. In his kingdom, we are free from sin, death, and the power of the devil. It's a place where we're adopted as God's children, and given an inheritance that cannot spoil the faith, where finally we are at peace with God. Jesus' answer was simple, I think. He told John's disciples, and that's John the Baptist, to go back and tell him, "The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." That's from Luke 7. Alright, so he was anointed as prophet, priest, and king. But, since he was baptized, we also need to be baptized. Jesus, being fully human, needed to be baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the voice of the Holy Spirit descended on him in the shape of a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And how does the voice finish? "Listen to him." Talk about law. There it is. But when God says it, it's both law and gospel. But listen to him. So Lent is where we remember the mercy brought to us, beginning with the baptism of Jesus, where he was anointed to be prophet, priest, and king. Why? For us. We need to listen to him. Tonight, we will remember the anointing of Jesus by our being anointed with ash. There's ash Wednesday. It's an anointing that reminds us that from earth we have come, and to earth we shall return. And we would be totally lost without our prophet. Aren't you glad all those fences keeping us from God are down? My friends, it's all about mercy. We can do none of this ourselves. In our Book of Concord, we have five or six different books in it. First one's Augsburg Confession. Second part is the Refutations, which the Catholic Church wrote to refute the Augsburg Confession. We have the small called articles. We have what is called the Epitome. And then we have what's called the Solid Declaration. Solid Declaration task book. And that's what our Lutheran theology is. But Johann Gerhardt wrote that, but he also wrote what is called the Epitome, which is the, what's the thing that takes books and makes them small that you can buy? So you don't have to read the entire book. Cliff Notes. Yeah, so the Epitome is the Cliff Notes of the Solid Declaration. But this is in both of these. So Johann Gerhardt has said, "The whole work of our Lord may be summed up in this, that he founded upon earth the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is the community of men, in which God is the absolute and undisputed master. God is love, and therefore the kingdom of God is a kingdom of love. And the community of those who've been reconciled to God in Christ must hallow its whole life and conduct by love. The whole duty of members of the kingdom of God is comprehended by our Lord in one word: be ye therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And again, be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. The righteousness of the kingdom of God, which our Lord enjoins," I love that word, enjoins upon his people, "is nothing else than the ordering of their whole life in accordance with the law of love." That's one of the basics of our theology. So when we say God is love, he is. But remember, we can do none of this ourselves. Without Christ, we're nothing. But with Jesus, we are everything. Remember a couple weeks ago, I talked about our cross? You know, where we receive from God and we have those arms reaching out. Well, when you receive the ashes tonight, it's in the form of the cross. And you're stating, without saying any word, that you stand with the mercy and peace of Jesus Christ, who is your Lord and Savior. May this mercy that passes all human understanding keep your hearts and minds.